Everything I'm reading online, and I know it's mostly opinionated stuff, but with Arizona State, that you know they are not going to the Big Ten. It would be the Nacho League or nothing at this point, I guess. But what are your thoughts on that, or what do you know, or what can you tell
us? Well, I think that's a safe assumption, but I don't have any more information than you would on that. Sure. You never know. You never know. You know, I guess people didn't really think Notre Dame would ever get to the Big Ten either, and they are. And once those rumors circulated, obviously that's the way they're going. So, but I think it was probably safe to say by the looks of things and what I can gather is Arizona State, they're looking for a league, and obviously they want a home. And they're looking for what's best for their program and their league too. And I don't know if the fans at Arizona State would know the difference between St. Cloud State and Northern Michigan, you know. I don't know. You know, they're just still in their infancy program. So, but I would say those probably would be one of the two leagues, the WCHA or the NCHC.
Can you tell us, you briefly mentioned the Alaska schools. What is going on up there as far as rumors? Because I've heard some too, and, you know, we don't want to say stuff that's not true. But the two schools being in the WCHA, is that making the WCHA less attractive for, say, an Arizona State or Minnesota State?
Well, that I can't speak on their behalf. Sure. I mean, obviously the travel is tough. You know, it's a long way to go up there, especially if you go, you know, two different trips, or even if you go one trip, Dirk. You've been up there, and it's a long way. It's a grind on your student athletes, and you know, financially, it's expensive. Even though they subsidize part of your travel, it's still a very expensive trip. So I'm sure some teams are looking at that. You know, why go all the way up there when you can travel 4 hours to play somebody else? You know, I get it. So is that, you know, on track to some teams? Maybe. You know, I don't know. But we've always had good experiences traveling up there, and, you know, we enjoy it. It's sort of fun to go up there. But I get it. After a while, it can become a grind and whatnot. But there's a lot going on up there, obviously, with her budget crunch, and you know they're looking to downsize, and you hear a lot of different things, but I don't know more than you would on that. So I think everybody's just waiting to see if anything's going to happen up there.
Well, and it seems like everybody's talking about, you mentioned another big reshuffling of the conferences.
Well, I wouldn't say big. I think you'll have some, you know, realignment at some point, and I know nothing. I mean, there's nothing done or anything like that, but you know, just talking in general in college hockey, like why are Miami and Western Michigan not in the same conferences with Bowling Green? Why isn't Bemidji with, you know, Duluth and North Dakota and St. Cloud? They're right in that little, you know, why? But that's what happened. Everybody sort of jumped initially when the Big Ten was formed and, you know, just sort of was looking for a life raft, and everybody was sort of grabbing on. I don't think there was a lot of thought in the process. So, you know, I think, you know, that's why I say I think people sit down and start to look, you know, what the, you know, implications were financially of what they've done, what the implications were of the travel, competitiveness, all those things. You know, should we be in, you know, should we be in this league? And you know, it's like Northern and Tech not being in the same league like we were for years. I mean, it's okay, but, you know, why aren't you in the same league, you know, and play each other four times? And great rivalry, fans want to see it, and I think there's some things there that hopefully will work themselves out down the road.
It does seem that we, along with Northern Michigan and Lake State, we're on a bit of an island when it comes to the conference.
We're on a peninsula, yeah.
Well, but I mean, on an island as far as not being in a lot of the conversations because of the travel to where we all are.
And you know, and I think that's, well, you know, that it is what it is. But, you know, you can get here. We've got a couple flights in daily. It's not that hard. You get to Chicago, and it's a 45-minute flight. So Northern's the same way, you know, Marquette and Asu. I talked to a coach this year, and he said their travel was fine. Mm-hmm. I think they flew something to Detroit and up to the Asu, and no issues. So you're right. It's, you know, we're a little out of the way, yeah, but at the same time, I think they're all good hockey cities. You know, I tell people, you know, Lake Superior State, they've won national championships. Northern Michigan's won a national championship. Michigan Tech, there's a lot of really good hockey history there. And, you know, just, excuse me, because it's a little harder to get to, is that the reason to, you know, not be in a league or not want to play them or not try to get up there? No. You know, I think it's more financially that people are looking at things a lot closer now. But still, Yeah, I mean, people can make excuses any way they want. There's a lot of tough places to get to.
Well, can we can move on. I appreciate your thoughts on that, Coach, and I know the listeners do too.
Sure.
How about some of the players that we've been kind of waiting to find out if we're going to get granted another year, like, say, a Max Vallas? Can you tell us the update on him?
Yeah, unfortunately, it looks like Max will not have any eligibility left. So we appealed the initial decision, and then we appealed the appeal, and we appealed the appeal, appealed. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot to try and get Max eligible. But at this point, unless barring some miracle, it looks like we're at the end of the road with him. And unfortunately, Max's time at Michigan Tech is done. Having said that, I mean, I'm really happy for him that he, you know, had his really his best year and a really good finish for us in a Tech uniform, and he can walk away and knowing he had some success and help us win a WCHA championship, and that's terrific, and Max had a big part in that. What I don't like about it is there's a couple similar cases right now that those players at other schools were granted another year of eligibility, and they're almost identical to Max's situation with a twist here or there, and that's what bothers me. I mean, it's you know, we're not trying to do something, you know, that's unethical or, you know, work, you know, against the NCAA. It's just here's a young man who, you know, hadn't played a lot in his first couple of years and should be able to be granted another year. I just don't understand it, so I got to be careful how much I say. But anyway, it's some of the red tape you run into the NCAA where you see on one hand, you know, this kid's playing over here. He doesn't. I don't get it all the time. It's hard for me to explain. It's hard for me to look at Max Vallas and say, you know, Max, hey, we lost the appeal. And then this kid, well, what about, you know, and I can't answer that. And that's what's difficult. So anyway, having said that, you know, Max leaves as a WCHA champion, and that's important. Not many players have been able to do that in their time here at Michigan Tech. And, you know, congrats to Max, and we wish him all the best, and thank him for all his contributions here. But like I said, it's just too bad.
A key ingredient to our success, Coach Tyler Haydenden, is getting ready for the season. Can you kind of tell us where he's at as far as his healing up process and the timeline on him?
Yeah, we had some bumps and bruises after the year. Like, Tyler played injured most of the last month and a half, and he had surgery at the end of the year, so he's coming along nicely. I think he's well ahead of schedule, which is encouraging as a coach, and I know it's going to take him a little bit of time when he first gets on the ice and how he feels and that, but we had a couple other minor surgeries, and those have progressed well, and we just want to come out of camp this year healthy. That's my number one goal, is because of that tough schedule. If we can keep everybody healthy with what we have, you know, we're going to have a pretty good team. So it's exciting to see that. But Tyler's doing well. He's you know, he's a hard worker. He's going to do whatever he can, and he stayed up here all summer. He's been here all summer, and I know he's chomping at the bit and hasn't been able to get on the ice yet. And, you know, all our guys have been on the ice that have been here. So I would say within hopefully another 2 to 3 weeks, he'll get back out there. And, you know, that'll give him a month before the puck drops. So he should be ready to go. I hope he's ready to go, but we'll see.
Very good. We'll touch on more of the players from the Huskies. And we'll get to some of your questions during our next segment. It's all part of a Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Mel Pearson right here on Mix 93. Welcome back to Michigan Tech Hockey Update with Mel Pearson here on Mix 93. We are going to get to some of your questions right now. And see what we got here. First question, how do you anticipate the starting goalie decision shaping up this season? Rotation or one takes over the job?
That's a good question. And, you know, we got Matt Winches, who will be a senior this year. You got Devin Carroll, you know, he's going to be, I guess, a redshirt sophomore, you know. And yep. Then you've got a new goaltender with Angus Redmond coming in from the BC Junior League. So three very capable goalies. And that's a good question. The problem is, last year we had those couple Canadian games, so we could sort of play everybody or try and get everybody in just to get a feel. We don't have that this year. In fact, we don't even start official practice till October 1st, which is the day we play. So we'll sort that out. We'll have to be watching very closely the 2 hours per week we can go on the ice. And there's a new rule this year that we can go on ice the week of the first day of school. The first day of school that we actually can go out on the ice 2 hours per week. Oh. Where last year we had to wait till September 15th. So at least we can get out there 2 weeks early and and get a look at our team and get our systems in place and work with the goaltenders on the ice and get a good feel. So I would tell you we're not sure. Joe Sean will have a lot of say in that, our goaltender coach, and just see how they're on the ice. Having said that, we know what Matt and Devin can do. They haven't played a lot of games, but we've seen them a lot in practice. So there's some comfort there knowing what they are. But who knows? Angus could come in and look awesome right from day one. So that position's wide open. I think, 2 years ago I talked about, we weren't sure who the goaltender was going to be. And this kid named Phillips?
Yeah, I think it's Phillips, yeah.
Jamie Phillips came along and, statistically, one of the best goalies in the history of Michigan Tech hockey. So, and led us to a WCHA championship, first time in 40 years, and, got a contract with the Winnipeg Jets. So you can see I got my Jets hat on.
I do. You look very spiffy today in the blue.
Yeah, so anyway, it's it'll be interesting. I don't know yet, and obviously, we'll put together a depth chart probably the second weekend of September and have a better idea.